The Youth for the Nations. I love the video you posted. Love all the pictures. And did you guys have a good time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing being around young people who love Jesus and fired up for Jesus. And so, hey, thank you. Thank you. You guys did great. Yeah. Are you glad you came today? You know, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, I was trying to think through some of the calendar for this year for some of our preaching and teaching. And I was thinking about some of the different holidays that we have, and hey, let's do something a little special. And I was especially thinking about July the 4th, which is coming in 2 days, and thinking, really, that we celebrate our independence, we celebrate our freedom on July the 4th. People fly flags, eat hot dogs, eat ice cream, go to the lake. I mean, lots of things. I mean, obviously, a lot of people today are doing that already, which is fantastic. But one of the things that I'm reminded of anytime I think about the privilege that we have of living in America is the cost and the price of freedom. I want you to remember this phrase, just think about this, remember this always. Freedom is never free. Freedom has a price to it. Freedom costs something. For you and me to be free as Christians, it cost Jesus his life, because freedom's never free. And for us to be free Americans, people paid the ultimate price for it. Today, we have a warrior that's going to join us today. Pete Chambers has been a friend of mine for nearly 20 years now. His wife, Shannon, Dr. Shannon Chambers, is our family doctor. They live in Medill, Oklahoma. And so anytime we need a doctor, we call Dr. Shannon, and she takes care of us. Sometimes she makes us come in to look at us, but most of the time she can diagnose us over the phone. But she's been a very, very dear friend and a prayer warrior. She's part of our intercessory prayer team for Nancy and I. And so we've been friends for a very long time. Pete is also a physician. Pete, you know, how many of you know that all humans don't get the same number of gifts, right? You just need to be faithful with the gift you got. But some people got a lot of gifts. Pete and Shannon got a lot of gifts. And Pete is also a physician. And he'll tell you something funny about that in a few minutes, I guess. But at any rate, Pete is also a Green Beret, an Army Ranger, and has had 6 full combat tours and numerous, many more than that, partial tours where he went for just a little bit of time. He's seen a lot of bad stuff around the world. But in the midst of all that bad stuff he's seen, he found Christ. And so I want to introduce you today to my dear friend, Major Dr. Pete Chambers. Yeah, I don't even know what to call you, right? Just Pete. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Please. I can't promise you it's going to be exactly like the 9 o'clock, because I might forget some things, I might throw some things in there. But I'm going to say one thing is that I'm going to stay humble. Number one, but Jesus is going to be there. That's the main thing. It's going to be both of them, the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to do something that a little different than just normal people do, because I'm not normal. I'm going to get real. So you guys are going to become the new member of my team. In Special Forces, we have what's called an A-team, right? You've seen the show, but that's not real. That's TV. Go ahead, next slide. So welcome to the team. You are now in the team room, okay? So in the team room, and it's too bad that everybody else took off for 4th of July weekend. They're going to miss out. But no, it's appropriate that they celebrate this great nation. Welcome to the team room. So in the team room, this is where we talk. I'm the team daddy, right? Well, I'm not team daddy. Team sergeant is team daddy. I'm an officer. I used to be enlisted, so I lost that privilege. And so I'm just in charge of everything that happens or fails to happen as the commanding officer. But I'm also a doctor, too. Kind of weird, you know. Special Forces, they make us do a lot of different things. So I learned how to fly a helicopter and learned how to be a doctor. And started out at 17 years old, 18, in 1983. President Reagan was the president. And I've seen a few presidents that I agreed with and a few that I didn't. But we do what we got to do. They're commander-in-chief, and we follow the orders. And so as a new member of this team, you're going to follow my orders, because I'm your commander. But ultimately, we have a great commander, right? Commander in the sky, and he's the one that's going to lead us on the mission through life and through, hopefully, to eternity. As a new member of my team, go ahead and next slide. We're going to talk about some of those that went before you. This is on the wall of my team room. These guys are all there. You know, it was all on my team throughout the years. I got 33 years total time, and half of it enlisted, half as an officer. So I've seen a lot of good things. And matter of fact, I became a doctor, and Shannon's a doctor, and she was a valedictorian type person, right? She's real smart, you know. And I graduated. You know what they call the last guy that graduated? Doctor. All right. I think, and on the battlefield now, sometimes I'll get up and be a little humorous, and you know, you got to bring humor to stuff. And the guy's shot, and he's talking to me, right? And I'm talking to him. He's like, "Are you really a doctor? You don't look like a doctor." I'm like, "Well, I stayed in the Holiday Express last night. That makes him feel real good." But anyway, so welcome to the team. Next slide. These are former team members. I have three questions. Next slide. Oh, there it goes. It comes up there. All right. Number one, why are you here? Okay, why are you here? Why do you come through these doors? Why are you in my team room? It takes a year and a half to make one of you people, make a Green Beret, year and a half, year to year and a half. Why? I know they're higher calling people. Last year, you heard Tyler talking. He's higher calling person as a Marine. You know, we've got anybody that served, actually, in my book, Ben, we've served, we put on uniforms. You're a higher calling person. What is it about you that brings you to my team, though? Because I want to know, because we are 12 guys. 12 guys on my team. Kind of an appropriate number is 12 apostles. 12 is an important number. But to me, 12 guys go down range. Now, people back home will watch TV and will watch and will spend millions and millions of dollars, and millions of people will watch a few guys like us play a sport. But the only people watching us is us. Okay, because we're going to be in those mountains of Afghanistan or in the jungles of Indonesia or in the for the SEALs, you know, coming off of a rib, a fast boat, fast attack boat coming up and assaulting something. We're the only people we've got, is all we've got. So I want to know why you're on my team. Is it for the fun? Is it for the glory? Because when I was 17, it was all about the fun and meeting girls, right? That was cool uniform. And, you know, they'd come and talk to you, right? It was a lot easier to break the ice. But, you know, as you grew up and you got mature, you realized it wasn't about that. And you realized it was about, you know, to me then it was mom and apple pie and America for sure. But John Wayne had his album out. You know, he's part of the reason I joined the Green Berets. He made a movie called The Green Berets, and I watched it. And I was like, that's what I want to be. And then Rambo, of course, I saw that, and I was like, that's what I want to be. So, okay, it looks like a lot of fun. But the reality is that when we go downrange, it's real. And so I got to know, what are we doing here? So next slide is, you're the average of your five best friends. Think about that. You know, this real important man told me that once. He said, think about your five best friends and tell me about them, and I'm going to tell you about you. All right? Well, Shannon, my wife, one of her top five best friends is Jesus. All right? So through this whole time of us being married, I just got saved when she took me on our second date to church. And so she's like, okay, we're unequally yoked. I'm like, what does that mean? Don't worry about it. Just listen to the service. And I listened to the first time the gospel was preached, and I got saved, so to speak. You know, I accepted what I heard. For the first time, I actually heard it. I was laying on the ground there at this church in Beaumont, Texas. And, you know, yeah, go Beaumont. And Berean Baptist Church, a little tiny church, guy with bongos, Elvis, you know. It was something else for me. You know, I grew up Greek Orthodox. My dad was from Greece, and so Greek Orthodox, you know, you get baptized as a baby, and you can do anything you want the rest of your life. I didn't know you had to have a relationship. And it's not a knock on them, because there's been many, many godly Greek Orthodox. It didn't work out that way for me. Anyway, I met her. We go to church. I get saved. But then again, I'm going into war now, because here comes 9/11. And, first time that we're actually tried. You know, we did Grenada, and we did Panama, and those things were pretty easy and pretty quick, but this was something different. This was a lot of years and a lot of back and forth. So thought about your five best friends. So you on the new person on the team, you tell me about your friends, I'll know about you. Next question, go to the next question. So I'd always ask if you died today, and this isn't me trying to proselytize anybody. There may be a Buddhist sitting in front of me, there may be an atheist. Most of my guys are Christians, and by the time they left, 99.9% of them were. But they would have to listen to me in the Humvee as we're rolling through the desert, you know, long distances, and me on the headset. Usually I was up on top, riding on my gun, on the 50 cal. They're always like, why are you up there, sir? I'm like, because I'm former enlisted, so I'm going to survive this. I can fire this better than any of you guys. I've been shooting it since 1983. So, okay, well, stay up there, sir. But I also would be talking scriptures to them while we were driving sometimes, or I'd be reading a book or something, you know, a book, you know, they always wanted to hear about David and the mighty man, so I'd be telling them stories about that, and because we consider ourselves that. So if you die today, but what's your legacy is what I wanted to know. What is it? Because as a soldier, that's what we do. I mean, we expect it and it happens. So I want to know what your legacy is, because I want to be able to talk to people about you should that happen to you, and I want you to talk about me. So if you die today, what's your legacy? We'd have to have serious conversations about that. So next slide. So in the team room, we have a few things up on the wall, and one of them is this. This is, you know, it's kind of appropriate that the music that came out before was talking about this. I mean, it was the exchange of Christ for our life. And I'm going to talk about it as a living example of what this really means that you're talking to me right now, because there's probably 8 or 12 times I shouldn't be here right now. You know, and any of us can say that, though, about a car not hitting you or an accident that you had that you survived, or any other people that have been in the service that have worn the uniform and got what we don't want to get, which is the Purple Heart. And you always say, I don't want that, but you end up getting it, and you realize this isn't for me. This is for that guy that we lost, because they get one, too. But that's the way I remember it is I wear one, and I say, this is for that guy that we lost, and I'm going to talk about a few of them. The other sign that I have in my room is what happens in the team room stays in the team room. And then the third one is that it's from Latin, and I don't remember the Latin phrase. It's a psalm, one of the psalms. And it says, not to us, Lord, not to us, Lord, but to thy name be the glory. Okay? So that's the way I, over time, started to change my life and focus more on that and not so much on myself. And that's hard to do when you're put in that position of being in an elite unit, because they breed you that way. They want you to be that way. And you got to walk in a room and have to own it in certain ways. But in this walk, we've got to learn how to let the Lord own it and how to let the Lord be your guide. And that's a tough deal for a human to do when you've been given this authority on earth, to give up that authority and say, no, this is all his. It's just like you're a steward of that. I'm a steward of this body. So I'm not afraid to go to combat. I haven't been for a long time. You know, people say, that's strange. You're making that up. I'm scared of hurt. I'm scared of pain. You know, that hurts. But I'm not afraid of what's going to happen after. I really am not. Go ahead, next slide. So the pictures that I showed you, new guys on the team, new gals on the team, those pictures are not just pictures of people that are on your team. Those are pictures of people that have gone before you on this team. These are the actual pictures of team members I've got permission of, and then those are the rest that I have personally put into a body bag. Those are my friends. Those are the ones that went before me that saved my life, that saved your lives for what we have. And it's 4th of July, so we're talking about that, but the reason those pictures are on the wall is not for see what a cool uniform looks like, but is to know what freedom looks like, because that's freedom right there. You're looking at it. Okay, so next slide. So we're going to talk about two of them, and I'm going to tell you a good story, a warm story in between. So two of the guys. First guy, this happened during Iraq going in. There's my truck. You know, they always just say, oh, you guys didn't have up armor? I don't want armor on my truck. You know why? That's a lot faster. Okay, and a lot easier maneuver. So I could go through anything with that truck, and there's a lot of holes in that truck. But, you know, coming through the desert from Baghdad, you got to know these guys on the team, kind of like the old show, The Rat Patrol. If any of you are old enough to remember that, you know, you thought you were it. You know, good show. But we go to Baghdad, and I got Jeff with me. Jeff, next slide. This is Jeff. He's my number one medic on the team. And he and I spent the first 3 days when we get to Baghdad on the top of a rooftop of a building that we were going to occupy for the next 9 months. I don't think I talked to Shannon for the first 90 days until I got a hold of a sat phone. You imagine not talking to somebody for 90 days. I mean, I just came to me, you know, what she sacrificed, okay? Can you give her a round of applause, please? Any family members, any of you family members from military, we don't really realize it, but they're the heroes, okay? They're the heroes. We just do the job, and we know what we're doing every day. They have no idea. You know, she's got the phone call. Your husband's in the cache, and they're in the hospital in Baghdad, and we don't know, really can't tell you if he's going to live or not. She got that, and she's lived through it. You know, I got a 17-year-old boy. He's lived through it, too, and it hasn't been easy, but they're my heroes. So Jeff and I, we got to know each other, and I asked him those three questions throughout 3 nights of being awake and sleeping and taking turns and, you know, shooting and moving and communicating and medicating, because we'd have to run out and pick somebody up every once in a while and say, all right, Jeff, you know, you Christian? He's like, I've been a Christian my whole life, sir. What about you? I'm like, that's good. Because I just got to know him, you know. I was like, okay, solid kid. I love this. You know, this is, I don't have to worry about this one. You know, here I am. Because I was fairly new Christian and, you know, walking the walk. And I don't know if you know this, but when you become a Christian, it's like not all perfect, right, that day. What's up with that? Lord, help us. But no, seriously, I went to the Promise Keepers right after that. I thought, they're going to ride this high. And then you go to war, and it's like, and you know, and you, it's the reality of life. It doesn't have to be war. It could be anything. And then you're up and down. So next slide. And then on the 12th of May, 2004, riding down the road, somebody else took the gun for me. I usually rode up there, but that day I'm going to do maps and I'm going to be down here. And Jeff got up there. You know, I'm his commander, and he did what I told him to do, and he got up on the gun and he rode the guns. Well, somebody decided to blow up my truck, and so we all got hurt, but Jeff didn't. He got worse than hurt. You know, he wasn't there anymore. And that was the first one of the 17 that I've had to bury. And when we did that, you know, it was the hardest one, and I still wear him. You know, his mom actually gave me this. This is his name on here, Jeff Shaver, and his mom gave me that. And I took him. Shannon went to visit her family, or visit his family in Seattle a year later at a memorial, and flew across country. And, you know, you get there and you think, Seattle, hippies, right? Okay. Yeah. And they're gonna hate me, and they're just not going to like me. And she was a hippie. And she was the sweetest woman I've ever met, Jane Shaver. And she said, I said, ma'am, you know, Your son's not here, and I'm here, and he's still here. And it's because of him doing his job that I'm still here. And he took my place. All right, now think about some parallels here, because we're thinking of a big picture. But he took my place, and I want you to see what the image of a person that's alive, because it's you. Jesus did it. We just couldn't see it. But this is the actual flesh and blood of a person that's alive because someone took my place. Okay, someone took my place. And that's not the first time that's happened on the battlefield, but that one was the first one. And it was straight up. And she said to me, she said, Pete, or that then Captain, I want you to live your life every day like his life mattered. And this is a mom. Tell me this. Mom. What, you know, who doesn't agree with any of the philosophy of, nor do I, of war or any of it, but I do it because it's my job. But what a thing to say, to sacrifice is something that perhaps the father said of the son, just, you know, live your life like his life mattered. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there, but would imagine that something like that took place. So, next slide. We're going to fast forward a little bit now to 2014. Lots of deployments between, but these are significant things that happened along the way. As we you know, finished talking about Jeff, and he was one of the pictures on the wall. But in northern Afghanistan in 2014, we go in on an objective to rescue a village that was under attack or constant harassment from Taliban, because they wouldn't succumb to Taliban rule, in the sense that these local villagers were trying to fight them off, and they didn't want them to be come in and taking their boys to go fight for them. And so there was a thing that I had read that said a little girl in northern Afghanistan was praying that an angel would come in and rescue her from these bad people. Well, those angels were us, and we came in the form of a CH-47, which is a big helicopter with two blades on it and a door that opens in the back. And we got out that night and we took care of business on the Taliban. But from that, there were wounded people and stuff, and this family was killed, except for the little girl about that big. Her name was Muslama. And she was about that big, and they brought her to me. She was on fire. She was actually burning, and from here down. And so they brought her to me. And it's Doc, you know, we got to help this little girl. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. This is not something I can handle with a backpack, you know, under fire, no less, in the middle of the night. And on the infield, we had lost a gentleman. We lost one of my buddies. He got hit. I'm not at liberty to say his name, but we lost him that night. So it was a rough night, to say the least. You know, you imagine about your worst day at work, and that was probably one of my worst days at work. But anyway, I get this little girl, so we can't just leave her on the battlefield. I got to take her back. So put her on the chopper, and I take her back to Bagram, and we get there, and I take her to the hospital. And, you know, I'm a doctor, but I'm a primary care guy who, you know, shoots guns. So I'm a soldier who became a doctor, you know. Let's just clarify that here, you know, and I graduated. But I did. I do have a license. that you don't want to see me in the ER, because I'll be like, well, suck it up, buttercup. But anyway, this little girl, I get her there, and they say, hey, we're going to cut her legs off. She'll be fine. You know, she'll survive. I'm like, whoa, cut her legs off. I said, her family's all dead. Well, there's nothing we can do. We got other patients to take care of. Hey, sorry, bro. I'm like, okay, well, what do we need to do then? We need to get her to a place where they can do a skin graft. Well, the nearest one is in Germany. All right, well, where's the best one? Well, the best one's in Boston. Well, I'm like, all right, well, we're going to get her to the best one because we're Green Berets and we can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Did you not hear that? So we decided that we were going to make it our goal. We had 72 hours to get her back to the States. So I called a few people. Now, there's this thing called chain of command. We're not supposed to go above the chain of command. Well, my chain of command reach went to the Speaker of the House at the time, which is Paul Ryan. All right, so I talked to Paul Ryan. He was actually a CBO chair, but or Ways and Means at that time. But he's now the Speaker. I called him, and I said, hey, I need some help. I need a visa for this girl because they won't let her leave the country without a visa. State Department says she can't go. Within 12 hours, I had a visa. All right, so he did his part. So thanks, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you got to love a guy that does that for America. Yeah. All right, and for that little girl. Way out of his way to do it. Three in the morning is when I called him on his time. The surgeons did the best they could, keeping her hydrated, keeping her legs wet, keep her from getting infected, because gangrene can set in, she could die. All right, so we're doing that. We needed to get a bird. Well, U.S. birds won't fly a foreign native, you know, not U.S. citizen, all right? So we got a credit card. I called Medill, Oklahoma, to the travel agent, Ardmore, Oklahoma, and said, hey, give me two tickets. I'm sending a medic and a little girl out of Afghanistan. We'll fly them out of UAE. Okay, how much is it? Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, here's my credit card. All right, we'll handle that later. All right, so we got Rody, my medic, my PA. He jumped in the bird with her. He had pneumonia at the time because we were fighting in the northern part of Afghanistan. It was February. It was cold. He was sick as a dog. When he got back to Boston, the day after it closed, the weather shut the airport down, but he made it in. God was all about that. We got it through the security because the visas were all set up, and the TSA people, they were good. Believe it or not, one time they actually did something right. So they got it through, and little girl made it to Boston to the Shriners Children's Hospital, got skin grafts, and she's 4 years old right now. She's walking, and she has her legs. She has scars, but she's walking. Well, here's the deal. There she is. Thank you for advancing the slide. That's Moosey, Muslama. We call her Moosey. We fell in love with her. Next slide. That's Narodi's Green Beret. So Rody fell in love with her, right, coming home with her. And so he adopted her because her parents had passed away. So now her daddy's a Green Beret. And the reason I tell that story is that to the least of these that you should do.
That's right.
Okay, so she was the least, you know, to anybody else's book. Even the surgeons in the hospital, like, man, dude, we got 1,000 other kids we got to take care of. We don't have time for your, you know, stuff. I got it, but got to go. All right, you know, they're tired, they're beat up. I got it too, you know. But I'm like, well, I'm not letting this little girl go. So we're going to do something about this. So that's when we use the, you know, Philippians 4:13 rule, and we got her done.
Amen.
So, all right, next slide. So we get the ceremony for the gentleman that passed away, and this is not him. This is Tico. He's one of my team sergeants. He was a big man. Tico was about 6'4", 6'5", I think, 260 on a good day, you know. Meaner than a snake, but a good Christian man, 3 kids, wonderful. We sat there at a ceremony that was being held for the gentleman we lost at that battle, and we're rampside ceremony, if you've ever seen one, is when we put a casket on. You've seen them come off, but we put them on downrange, and everybody stands there, and we give respect to the person being put on the flag-draped coffin, and it's to respect the warriors that are going home. And so Tico looked down at me, because we were over there bawling like babies, you know, and Tico looked down at me with just a dry face and said, sir, why are you crying? I said, we lost our brother. He said, you don't cry for Green Berets. That's what we do, sir. He said, you cry for me, and I'll come back and haunt you. All right, Tico, got it. Well, unfortunately, 2 weeks later, we had a rampside ceremony for him, for Tico. You know, he just a mountain of a man, a beautiful man. Next slide. he stood in the way of if you've ever heard of a green on blue, bad guy picks up a weapon and starts shooting into our crowd, but he's supposedly supposed to be a good guy. It's a guy that we were training. Right? He picks up this weapon and starts shooting in the crowd of us, maybe our distance here, and Tico jumped in front of the commander and you know, nothing I could do, all right? But he's a Christian. I know where he's at. So I can't cry, Tico. Sorry. But Patton said it best. He said, let's not mourn these men. Let's thank God that such men existed, you know, and women. You know, he said that. So next slide. So, you know, there's a cost. And you just go ahead and roll through these here as we talk real slow. And there's a cost that comes. And so you look at it and you say, is it worth it for this little girl? And I say, yeah, it's worth it because we're fighting them anyway. And we'll take a bullet for anybody because that's what we do. Our motto is De Oppresso Liber, which means to free the oppressed. You know, and when you wear it on your shoulder, you don't really think about it. But as you get older and you start looking at this stuff, you start thinking, we're oppressed by the devil, by Satan. We're oppressed. But, you know, Christ came to free us. And so like we go to free those people, and I truly believe that when I'm doing that, you know, we do it to free those oppressions. And Christ did that for us and is still doing that to this very day. And so let's think about the problem, though, and here's the problem for me, is that I'm a human being. Yeah, that's the number one problem. And so when I go back and forth downrange, all these trips, a little piece of my heart gets taken out every time and until it starts affecting our family. And I'm, you know, I look at Shannon and I think all the times I came home and I was just miserable to be around. You know, it took me 3 months to get over something, you know, a bad trip. I lost six guys one trip. And, you know, sometimes you take it out in verbal things or you take it out by not being there mentally. Your son wants you to go to the game, but you just can't, you can't sit and look at a game. But I mean, I just came from this. So the next slide, you know. And then you have good times where you save this little guy, Najee Bula, pulled a bullet out of his belly. And, you know, he just stayed with us for 6-7 months in that hospital bed and got to know English and know how to talk to us. And he is a great joy. And so you have that joy. And then you go, next slide, and then you lose some more. And it's just up and down. And you lose a piece of yourself every single time. And you come home and, yeah, I made a profession of faith. But I never really walked in it. And so go ahead and go to the next couple of slides. And, you know, we just keep rolling through. We'll get to where it says Operation Restored Warrior because Pastor Joe was talking to me, and he you know, I love him like a brother. And he said, you know, Pete, and leave it right there on that slide. He said, you know, I got something for you. A friend of mine runs this deal out in Colorado. It's called Operation Restored Warrior. It's it's made for elite special operations guys because we don't trust anybody. We don't trust anybody else unless they've been there or done what we've done. You got to go to this. Okay. Well, I went to it. And I drove there. You know, I could have flown, but I drove there from Medill and got out there. And at the table with me were six or seven guys. There was a couple Green Berets, a SEAL Team 6 guy, a couple Delta Force guys. They were all in the same boat as me, just beat up. You know, and when I talk about beat up, it reminds me of something I said in the first one is, you know, I got 33 years of doing this, and a lot of it's, you know, when I left there, I got a little award from my guys, a picture of Brett Favre. Now, I'm a Cowboys fan, but Brett Favre, you know, he was a little old, and he kept going. Well, they were calling me the Brett Favre of Special Forces. And when I left, I was 52 years old, you know, doing it, and, you know, it got old. You know, broke my back and been shot and can't hear and can't see, and, you know, this eye at least, and I, my wife, she can't, you know, she has a soft voice, and so I can't hear, which is great, you know. It's an excuse. I can say, I didn't hear you, honey. I'm sorry. She goes sometimes, you can't hear me? I'm like, right. So, I got to learn sign language. But, you know, been around this table, and I started realizing, you know, I trust these people. Okay, I think I can talk. And they asked me, next slide, this question. And this is what killed me is, why are you here? So this is my question. This is what I ask my guys. What are you asking me this for? Well, why are you here? Nobody said anything. I'm the oldest guy, so I'm like, all right. Well, I'm here because my heart is black. Okay. Well, you're the doctor. Yeah. I mean, and they said, well, I guess that makes sense. My shrink, my psychiatrist asked me one time, no offense to psychiatrists in here. I don't mean shrink, but that's what they call it in the Army. So my psychiatrist said, when I was getting my 95% disability. They told me I was broken, that I had to get out. He said, who takes care of you? Like, yeah, I know you counsel those guys. Who takes care of you? I'm like, I talk to my wife. Like, yeah, but who counsels you? I'm like, I don't really counsel. You know, there's a stigma involved with that. I don't really want, because then they'll think that I'm weak. You know, that whole false bravado thing, call it posing. You know, 99.9% of guys do it growing up. We all pose. You know, you want to be the football guy, the baseball guy, the Green Beret, SEAL, Navy guy, whatever it is, fighter pilot. You know, we got them all. But, you know, when you get real, why are you here? And I said, my heart's black. And it was a 5-day program, and I didn't think. And there was another guy there that said, hey, if this doesn't work, I'm going to off myself. It was just, I'm not going to be here anymore. And I'm thinking, these are the best of the best of the world who have given their lives, and we've let them go to this. And here we are in this room. How many of them aren't in this room? 22 veterans a day take their own lives, a day, from Vietnam, well, before that and on until now. We just let them go. And so, why are you here? I'm here because my heart's black. And by the third day, you know, I started coming out of it, and I actually had an experience with Jesus, much like what Joe had talked about before, where he actually experienced Jesus, where he actually had it, 36 years ago, something like that? So for me, it was just a couple years ago, to where I actually had a relationship, where a light came on, where I was like, and so the guy asked me, he said, you feel better? Is your heart still black? I said, you know what? I can see. And he was doing something called an exchange. He said, I can see. I said, I can see a white horse, you know, in place of that black heart. You know, just a beautiful horse. Okay, good. All right, now I want you to think about it for a while. And go out in the mountains. We're in the mountains. Go out and just walk around. You guys go and just be one with God. Just go out in the woods. Okay. So I went for a walk, and I got up on this hill, and there was a river, a little stream coming down. I thought, well, I guess maybe God will be by a river. And I looked up. And there was a horse farm. There was a white horse standing there. And I walked over to it. I was like, is this really there? Okay, this is real. And I thought, this is where I'm going to see Jesus. And I did. And I felt it. I felt it in his presence and stayed there for a long time and prayed and realized that he's there. And I came home restored. And I came home and, you know, I said it the first service again. I'll say it again. I'm sorry for all those times that I wasn't there, baby. But... anyway, you know, you're great. But anyway, so I came home restored, and for the first time, they saw their father, their dad, their husband come home like whole and not pieces missing, not sleeping on the floor, not, you know, I never drank or did drugs or any of that, but, you know, just being out in the barn alone, you know, working on guns. I mean, just being away, shooting, whatever. I became real. You know, I couldn't have told any of this. There's no way. I would have never let you see any part of me because I don't want you to think that there's a weakness involved with being in a Green Beret, but it's not a weakness because we're all strengthened by the Lord, and that's what we do, and that's our job, and it's been real hard, but it's been the best job I ever had. So go ahead, next slide. There's some pictures from a while back when we were younger, but, you know, but I want you to see who the real heroes are. And to know that you know, we can be real and still be soldiers. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. Yeah. You know, I mean, he made mistakes, and so have I. And it's okay. You know, we're forgiven. We've been washed in the blood. We took communion, and thank you for that, because, you know, that's something I never really understood. You know, as a young kid taking communion, I thought, and they use real wine in Greek Orthodox. Oh, man, you know, this stuff can turn you into an alcoholic. But I want to do something right now. I'm gonna play a song, and then right afterwards, I'm gonna do just a quick roll call of some of the people that I know in here. But first, I'm gonna do this song. Go ahead, and let's do that. I want you to think about this. The last question, though, that I asked you, which is, if you were gone tomorrow, where would your legacy be? Where would you be? Just think about it. And pray for the families of the ones that are gone. They got the hardest job.
I will be your shield, and I will go with you into the battlefield. And when the arrows start to fly, take my hand and hold. real tired from running. I will cheer you on. Look beside you and you'll see you're not alone. When all of your strength is gone,
that's Rhody who adopted her.
I'll carry you until you're strong, and I will be your shield when you are a soldier.
Corporal Tillery.
Here, sir.
Lieutenant Rounds.
Here, sir.
Sergeant Shaver. Sergeant Jeffrey Shaver. Sergeant First Class Kilt. Tico Skelt. In the presence of God. Carry on. Thank you. All right, Joe. Sir.
Come on, let's give Pete a hand.
Thank you.
Love you, brother.
Take away today. There's no greater love than one man lay down his life for another. That's the highest expression that there is of love. That you lay down your life. I was struck by Sergeant Tico. Pete, we're grateful for your service, all your comrades, for the men in this room who've served uniform. We're grateful. We're thankful. We appreciate it. We understand that freedom's not free. We understand that freedom, the road to freedom's paved with the blood of our warriors. And so we're grateful for that. We're grateful for that. But I want to tell you, there's one warrior, there's one commander in heaven who didn't lay down his life for one friend. He laid it down for all of us. And he loves you. He's your father, and he loves you. He's your father, and he cares for you. He's your father, and he created you. And he, once and for all, laid his life down for all of us. And today, we celebrate not just the men and women who worn the uniform to keep us free, but we celebrate the one who made us free, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we give him the glory, the honor, and the praise for his life. If you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to give Jesus your heart today, I'm going to ask Pete just to hang with me here at the front. You just come, just see us. We're going to pray over you and pray for you. Okay? If you're here today and you've been backslidden, traumatized, maybe by losing a friend, or maybe you've been in combat somewhere, and you just need somebody to pray with you, stand with you, help you get your heart restored and free, we're here. We're standing here for you. We're ready for you. If you're here today, you have any kind of physical need, any kind of mental, psychological, material need, we have our pastors here. I'm here. We're here. We want to pray for you and stand with you. I was at the end of the last service, a lady came up to me. She said, I want to tell you, prayed for my granddaughter's eyes. She's already had two surgeries. She was headed in for another surgery. And she said she went back for a third surgery, and the doctor examined her, and her vision's 20/20 after you prayed for her. Yeah. We have hope. We're standing in faith. We're believing God for great things. Let me just speak a blessing over you. Just pray that the hand of the Lord would be upon your life in a powerful way, that God's presence would be multiplied towards you, that he would shine the light of his countenance upon your life, and that he would give you peace and grace wherever you go and whatever you do. Lord, we thank you for our country. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a nation that's free. And Lord, today we're grateful for the men and women who've laid their lives down to ensure that freedom. Thank you for this moment today with Pete, Shannon. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Give somebody a hug, a high five, a handshake. God bless you. We're here for you if you need us.
Your eyes through the dark, fix my eyes on the unexpected.